Non so di essere inserito
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's June 10th, 2024 regular city council meeting. Could all please rise? A short private invocation asking for God's blessing on this city and wisdom as our city council makes its decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Had some enthusiasm on the pledge tonight, didn't we? That's a good thing. I'd like to move to item 1D, which is citizen input on our city council agenda. Anyone tonight who'd like to address city council? Let's start with this effervescent looking lady. Yes.
Members, my name is Dawn Breitmeyer, and I'm the new branch manager at the library. And I'm not here representing the library today, but I'm here as a citizen who lives on Cedar Street. And I'm very concerned with the speeding on Cedar Street. There's lots of little kids that live on my street. And I have seen some very large trucks that are driven by city trucks, and they are going at least 40 miles an hour on my Pine Mile now on the street. That's also in addition to just the general traffic that's speeding. And then I'm here also sort of representing not really the library per se, but the parents that have been complaining about the drag racing on Main Street and the speeding. I know that I've seen three accidents on Main Street. They're on Main and First in the 6 months that I've been here. And I'm not sure how many others have happened, but it's a lot. As far as the speeding and the drag racing is concerned, it's very loud. And parents are complaining to us that they're afraid to let their kids ride their bikes or walk to the library. In particular, now that school is up. I just wanted to really sort of bring that to everybody's attention.
Thank you, Georgia.
Yes.
What block number do you live on here?
256 EC.
You heard me. I mean, I have a really loud voice anyway. So that is it. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Georgia. Sorry I didn't remember your name, but I did know who you were. George is our local librarian for the Mid-Columbia Library. Jake Mendez, you had some comments you wanted to address the council with.
Yes, I'm Jake Mendez Jr., civil rights activist and an ACLU of Washington member. I just want to address the city council in reference to the swimming pool. I don't know who's going to run for city council in the next 4 years, or the mayor. But I hope in the far future that that whoever's running in the public works and the city council and the mayor could be more thoughtful to having this swimming pool or a new one. I'm assuming it's going to be torn out, I'm guessing. I don't know anything about that. But if it does, I appreciate the hard work that, you know, that was put in to check in on the the cracks, the water systems, how much water was going out, and things like that. And I just want to say I appreciate that. But I just want to say for the future, those who want to elect those that are going to promise the most maintained swimming pool for the community from here on out in decades to come, for the future children, all the way from kindergarten to seniors, that the school district could look forward to having an event, having swimming classes, and other physical activities for those that are in need of a swimming pool, for any physical elements of the legs or feet. Second of all, I just want to thank Adams County Pet Rescue for all that they've done throughout this spring and summer, all the animals that they've rescued and have distributed, good animals, and the safekeeping of animals. And I just want to continue the support of the community to keep supporting Adams County Pet Rescue. That's all. Thank you.
Is there any other member of the public who would like to address the council tonight? Okay. With that, let's move to item 1E, which is roll call. All members are present except for Councilor Daryl Barnes, and he had called dispatched earlier and said that he just was not going to be able to make it tonight because of his work schedule. So I'd entertain a motion to excuse Councilor Daryl Barnes.
I'll make a motion to excuse Daryl.
Thank you. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Let's move to item 2, the approval of tonight's agenda.
Make that motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's now move to item 3, which is our consent agenda. Entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Motion carried. Let's move into our current business tonight. And the first item is a 10-year employee recognition for Sergeant Brent McFarland. I'd like to call Sergeant Brent McFarland to the front. Was reading your bio today. I remember reading some of it when you were sworn in as an officer. And wow, you have done a lot of things for the Othello Police Department since you've joined, but I'll read some of those tonight. Sergeant Brent McFarland, 2000, in the year 2000, grew up in Anacortes and graduated from high school. In 2002, he was a Skagit Valley Community College graduate. And then he somehow decided to move to Eastern Washington, where he went to Eastern Washington State University and got a criminal justice degree major. 2014, he started at the Othello Police Department after 2 years at the Umatilla Tribal Police Department. In 2016, he became a department EVOC instructor and field training officer. In 2016, he was promoted to sergeant. Brent was also named supervisor of the year in 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, and 2021. In 2018 through 2024, he's been the department field training officer coordinator. In 2019, he became EVOC Police Academy instructor. In 2021, he was assigned to the detective sergeant position. And in 2021, he was also appointed to the Central Basin investigative team. In 23, Brent was duly sworn with special deputation with the United States Marshal Service and the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, as a part-time task force officer with the FBI Child Exploitation Bureau and Human Trafficking Task Force. Sergeant McFarland is a pillar of standard when it comes to difficult and detailed investigations. He has the ability to form effective teams to solve problems within our community. And at this time, it is with great pleasure to recognize Brent with this plaque in recognition of his 10-year service to the City of Othello from April of 2014, Brent, to April of 2024. Let's give him a big round of applause. Give the microphone to you.
Well, thank you, Mayor. It's 10 years. Wow, it's gone by really, really fast. Thank our council. We've always had tremendous support from our city leaders. Makes it really easy to work here. Chief, thank you for everything you've done to me, for me, not to me. AC, same. My teammates, we couldn't do it without you guys. I've gotten a lot of opportunity here that I think I wouldn't get anywhere else. So it's really been a blessing. So hopefully God will bless me with 10 more years. And this is, like I told AC, this is the only time it's cool to age yourself. I was thinking about my first day here in Othello, and my partner at the time was Mullen. There's two troopers in the squad room. They were looking for a suspect. And I didn't listen to anything they said. I was like, gosh, Mullen, are we going to look that old someday? And now I'm very much getting there. So thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Sergeant, I think you need to explain to the audience how you decided to move from Skagit Valley here to Eastern Washington and decide to go to EWU.
Why I decided to go to EWU is get as far away from Anacortes as I possibly could. So Pullman's pretty far away too, but Sheeny's further from Anacortes. So I landed in Spokane and got hired with Department of Corrections, and that landed me in Eastern Washington. And I love the climate here, and it's been a blessing.
Thank you. The next item on our agenda is the Othello Police Department State Accreditation presentation. And that presentation is going to be that. Do we have co-presenters tonight?
Yes, we do.
We have Police Chief Dave Rim and our Assistant Police Chief Aaron Garza.
Well, thank you, Council, for having us. And we'd like to report on this 2024 reaccreditation of the Othello Police Department for the state standards from the Washington State Chiefs and Sheriffs Association. This is something we've been working on for a long time. In fact, we have to work on it for a long time in order to get it. We have a PowerPoint, so Spencer's going to help us out. So this was just a couple weeks ago in Spokane when we were finally awarded that, and we didn't know for sure we were going to earn state accreditation until the day before. So it was quite a day to get to finally reach that point, something AC and I have been working on constantly. Next slide. So a little bit of history regarding the state accreditation in the Othello Police Department. You can see the years that we've earned it. Chief McDonnell was the first chief that strived for accreditation. Part of that deal was the new police department that was built around that same time. Much of the building is because of accreditation. That's why it's structured that way. You know, where the evidence room is, where the intake room is, but it's purely for accreditation. We also utilize computer systems. Lexipol policy was introduced by Chief Dunnigan, and that really helped us out with accreditation. In fact, if you're a striving department looking for accreditation and you're not a Lexipol department, you've got a lot more work ahead of you. Accreditation helps us with training, documentation, because if we miss training, you're not going to get accredited. There's some training that we have to do, and AC is going to talk a little more about this. consistent, constant documentation of police activity. And then even what we write down is important as far as accreditation goes. So we're going to get a little more in that. One of the newest computer programs that we take part in is called Power DMS. That is the depository for evidence of accreditation. We also use it for training records and hours and such like that. Currently, if you're striving for a department to be a state accredited, you have to have Power DMS. It's mandatory to have that. So you can see we have all the years of accreditation, 16, 20, and then 24. So accreditation lasts for 4 years. So we're on a 3-cycle run right now. The department has never done that before. So we're pretty proud of that. Some of the benefits of accreditation, you can read right there that we go over. But one of the biggest benefits that I see that we use a state accreditation for is the mentorship of a younger officer who comes in and helps out with the accreditation as part of the accreditation standards. Assistant Chief was the accreditation manager for a long time. And I got to tell you, and I'm involved in it also, you learn more about your department through state accreditation than anything else. Because you start opening your eyes and going, oh, now I see that's why we do that. There's rules that say we have to do it that way. So it's quite a deal. Next.
So what is state accreditation and how do you get it? So state accreditation, just like any other accreditation body, it's ran by WASPIC, Washington Association of Police Chiefs and Sheriffs. And it's like a comprehensive deep dive into your agency. Into its policy, procedures, how do you get things done? Now, what's important to underscore is these aren't just the way we do it, or we say, you know what, let's do it this way. There's a set standard that we have to meet, and that standard is set by WASPIC. There's 18 chapters, I listed the chapters here, and then there's 144 different standards. 144 standards that we have to say, fellow PD, yes, does it this way. Not our way, does it WASPIC's way, state accreditation's way. Because their way is the best practices, the best policies and procedures. It's not like they're saying, you know what, let's do it the way King County does it, or some other large agency does it. No, this is a separate third-party body that says, this is the way police departments should operate. This is the best way that they need to operate if they want to be successful. So there's 18 chapters, and it covers a wide spectrum. It's not like it's just things that are really serious. It goes all the way down to would be a small one. Approval of overtime. How do you guys approve overtime? You know, you got to talk to a sergeant first. You submit it on paper. From there, all the way to, you know, who reviews all of your uses of force or your internal investigations? Who does your internal investigation? Who does your background investigations? Are your background investigators certified? Who does your polygraph? Are they certified? Is their certification up to date? It's a wide gamut. I mean, it's almost a complete comprehensive audit to the way your agency operates. If you look on the screen here, like records management, how do you keep track of your records? You guys keep track of every single call? You guys have 24 hours with the records? Who do we talk to get a record? And how do you guys perform your record retention? Is it comparable to the state retention schedule? Well, it better be, because that's the standard. And if you don't prove that you're doing that, well, then you don't get it. Health and safety. What happens if an officer gets blood on the uniform? What happens if they get a needle stick? What do you guys do then? What's your procedure? Does every single one of these officers know where to go to get decontaminated? So, wide variety. Code of conduct, internal affair. Who conducts your internal investigations? Evidence and property is a big one. Evidence, chain of custody, how evidence is collected, when is it weighed, how often is it weighed, how many hands does it touch to get between the scene all the way to the evidence room, and so on. So accreditation covers just a wide variety of everything. The fiscal management, how do we check, or how do you guys make or pay your bills? All those things are accounted for in state accreditation. There's 144 different standards. And each one of those standards are searched through a fine-tooth comb to make sure that we're meeting them, or we call it in compliance. If we're not in compliance, that's like a red flag. Like, nope, you didn't do that one. OPD. Okay.
this cannot be done by one person. So even if on the standards are for the evidence room, Maria Montalvo has to take, be part of that when it's just, when it gets inspected and all this. Also, for the evidence room, you have to reach out to a third party or a third party. In our case, we use Mr. Williams here. He comes over and does spot audits for us, surprise audits for us. So it can't just be just one person that would do it. It's spread out.
So every 4 years, we have an assessment. Assessment center, before COVID, used to have it called an on-site. And the assessors used to come and they used to go into our changing room. They used to set up shop. There'd be about 6 to 8 of them. They spend the entire day going through each one of these files or making any inspection that they need to make. But after COVID, now it's more remote as far as a file review, but we still have a physical facility inspection. So how do we prove that we're doing each and every one of these? A lot of the time with police reports or with photos or administrative reports, I have on the screen here. So these annual reviews, CJTC training, audits, annual evals, those are all 4-year proofs. So those are things that we have to say we do each and every year. If we happen to miss one in 2 years past, we're not going to get stated anymore. It's really that critical and that restrictive. So annual reviews, use of force, vehicle pursuits, IAs, bias-based policing, those are all reviews that I have to do. I have to check all those things each and every year at the end of the year. And then I submit a report to the chief for approval, and we check what were our use of the force? How many taser deployments do we have? How many times did we take someone to the ground? Or how many times did we do anything that has to be some sort of use of force? Vehicle pursuits, how many did we get into? What were the results of them? Internal investigations, filed, bias-based policing. This is the big one. CJTC training certification. Every officer must receive a minimum of 24 hours for the training each and every year. If we don't meet that standard each and every year, boom. We do not get it accredited. So me as the assistant chief, I got to make sure I log in everybody's training hours and, you know, come, I don't know, maybe August, September, I take a look. Hey, who's missing? Who do we need to send to training to make sure everybody gets those 24 hours? Audit of sensitive items. Chief touched up on this. Country does an audit of our evidence room. It's not one of us. That way they can't say we're fudging it. We're playing the game. Someone totally set comes in. Do an audit of money, jewelry, cash, and drugs. Make sure we're weighing them correctly. They're in the right spot, and they're there. No, I'm tampered with. Annual evals, we have to do it every single year. If we miss an eval, we're not going to be considered credit. It's that critical. And then other than file reviews, they do facility inspections. So this year was Randy Maynard. He works for WASPIC. He came over, and he does all the physical inspections. He went around, and he spoke to our patrol officer. Hey, patrol officer, let me look at your car. Have you got RPD in there? Well, you better. That's a state accreditation standard. Tell me about your vehicle pursuits. If you're to pursue into another vehicle, what are you supposed to do? An officer's got to spout out what we're supposed to do. When he checks it against our policy, and you better get it right. And you got it right. Okay. But those are accreditation standards. They also have to do a physical inspection of our evidence. We have something to protect against pests. You know, do we have mouse traps? Do we have proper ventilation for our evidence tech? Doesn't inhale noxious substances. So, I can go on and on how thorough and in-depth this entire process is, which overall makes me so proud that we're able to get it each and every year. A testament to how efficient and how modernized the Bellevue Police Department is.
So a little, continue on the state accreditation, not the process, but the effect of it. So there's approximately 260 law enforcement agencies in the state of Washington. After this last April, there are only 77 are state accredited. We're one. There's another round of accreditation coming up this fall. There'll be over 80 by the end of the September. We'll say about 16 agencies coming up. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be over 80. Now that's it. They all get it. We were denied. Aaron and I were there. We watched the vote. We were denied because we missed one evaluation. Then the next day, I went to the accreditation meeting, the board, and I watched them vote again. And one of the members of the board said, "What's going on in there, Othello? How can they miss this?" And I told myself then, 2015, I'm never going to give them that opportunity again. And so that's why we live accreditation. There is something new for the Washington from the Washington State Criminal Justice Training Commission and an accreditation incentive fund. It's $1 million given to the CJTC a year to incentivize those offices reaching or trying to strive for accreditation. That $1 million is split between the number of agencies that either earn accreditation or earn reaccreditation. So we have submitted the paperwork for our share of that. We have no idea how much it's going to be. They're not sure how much agencies are going to be accredited. Also, the state accreditation falls into the national standards of independent accreditors with bodies. But WASPIC is one of those bodies. And these are some new standards that are coming out that we have to prove. But also, if we also look down at the federal grant implications, there's a checkbox on federal grants if you're to be a state accredited. Are you state accredited? Yes. So it does affect that kind of stuff.
So moving forward, we're going to continue to live accreditation. What that means is every single day, we're going to make sure we're maintaining standards of accreditation. It's not just something where every 4 years, is our assessment. So we'll wait till the second and a half or 3 years rolls around, and then, we'll start to get in there. No. That's not how we operate. Every single day, every single year, we continue to live accreditation to make sure we're following the best practices we do to serve our community best possible way we can. I've been the accreditation manager since 2014, so around 10 years now. And I was a lead manager this year, but I had Sergeant Ryan Jacobson kind of at my wing, and I was showing him the ropes. He's going to be the next manager, and I'm going to step in to be more of his mentor next time. Sergeant Jacobson is an excellent, excellent candidate to be the manager. He's super detail oriented. That's exactly what you need in this position. So I look forward to working with them. Also, we're going to continue doing this, all these 4-year proofs that we have to fulfill. We're going to do that every single year. So
next slide. We've got to hang the plaque up.
City Council. I just want to thank the police department, Sergeant Garza, not Sergeant Garza anymore, excuse me, Assistant Chief Garza and Chief Rim. This is a major effort, and I think I really became more aware of it the last time you were involved in getting that accreditation for the city 4 years ago. And to do this 3 consecutive opportunities in a row is really quite an accomplishment. I'm really proud of our department. I'm really proud of the entire department. And I just want to thank you for putting forth this effort. It shows excellence in every area, and the community of Othello should be proud of our police department. But I don't think you're done, because next item on our agenda is approving to apply for the fiscal year 24 COPS hiring grant. Is that Dave, or are you going to present that?
So the agenda memo is asking and advising the council, and I've been working with finance, and I've been working with Sarah Monomer, the grant writer. So in 2020, the city secured a Department of Justice COPS hiring grant to establish the second SRO position. Amounting to that total was $125,000 over 3 years. It is a 4-year commitment. So last year isn't funded by the grant. We partnership with the Othello School District to cover the funds the 4th year, 50-50 split. However, the grant is expiring this year. The city and Othello School District intend to collaborate in funding this grant-funded school resource officer SRO position within fiscal year 2024 grant funding cycle. The goal is to rehire and retain the SRO who may face layoff when the current grant and MOU ends. We've got some numbers for breakdown on it. You can see there. For the school district and what it would cost all of us. So currently we do have two SROs. They're very busy. I would like to try to keep them both active in the school district. The school district does support us going towards this grant. I'm asking recommendation to continue with the grant process.
Yeah, council, do you have any questions?
It's not really a question. It's a statement from me as a city council member. I would like not to see this SRO officer laid off, regardless of whether we do get the grant or not, that we somehow figure out how to put that in our budget for the next, 4 years or longer.
Yeah, that'd be a goal. Yeah.
It's $133 according to this.
For four years. Yeah.
So our portion of what we pay would go up, to 70,000 instead of 41, roughly. I think we can afford that. I'm willing to seek the grant because that's free money. That's great. But if for any reason we don't receive the grant this year, I'd like to continue with that officer as. So that's just my statement with regard to this.
Other comments, council? Then I'd entertain a motion to approve application for the fiscal year 24 COPS hiring grant.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Next item on our agenda is awarding of the 2024 seal coat project. And tonight we have our city engineer, Robin Adolfson. And Robin, do you want to review that with city council for their approval?
On June 4th, we had open bids for the seal coat project and we got three.
Robin, can you get closer?
Fine. We received three bids, ranging from $575 to $763, basically. And my estimate was $579 for this project. And listed on your memo is the streets that we plan to have chip sealed. And it included another street, Pine Street, up to the amount of the $600,000 that we have budgeted. So Tomer Construction was the low bid, and we would like to award the bid to them. Is there any questions?
Questions, City Council?
Is there any reason we shouldn't?
No, they met all the requirements, and their bid was complete. So,
have they done work for us before?
We have, and we liked their work. So,
okay.
Yes, they were the first one did the first seal coat project for
okay.
us.
Okay. As long as there's anything, going to pop out at us later, that's good.
Okay, I'd entertain the motion.
I'll make the motion.
So the motion is to award the Seal Coat Project 2024 to Tomer Construction Company, Inc. in the amount of $575,000 with approval to add the additional street if the project will stay within the budgeted amount of $600,000.
Yes.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Council. Thank you, Robin. Now, I'd like to move to item 4E, which is the approval of the facility use agreement between the city and McCain Foods for their company party.
Hello, good evening. McCain Foods Company has planned its annual company party, and this company party consists of 250 people on each occasion, and it was their choice to have two different dates because of the number of employees, and they would be given out bracelets that confirm that's their number for their event. The initial plans feature children's bounce house activities and barbecue style menu. The setup will commence and start the morning of the events on Saturday, August 3rd and Saturday, August 10th. The bounce house vendor will also set up on that morning of both events. The company parties will take place from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And Public Works would have two shifts of two Public Work employees that will be on site during the day to aid in electrical outlets, managing trash disposal, maintaining restroom facilities, and the event cleanup by McCain organizers is planned for 6 p.m. to conclude the events. Budget would be, because they anticipate 250 people, each requested date, the fee is $275 and $520 for damage deposit for each date. That results in $1,590 for the two events. And we recommend that the city approves the facility use agreement with McCain Foods for their
party. Thank you, Valerie. City Council, do you have any questions for Valerie about these actually two events? Entertain a motion then to approve this facility use agreement for the use of city property between the City of Othello and McCain Foods, Inc. for their company party event being held August 3rd and August 10th of 2024.
I'll make that motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Valerie, I'm sorry, I forgot to introduce you. You're our park and rec coordinator. This is for people on who are viewing online. Our next item is 4F, which would be the agreement between the city and Fight for Mike for their 5K run.
Sandra Villarreal and the Fight for Mike Charity Committee has applied as a nonprofit organization and is preparing for the first annual Fight for Mike 5K charity run. That makes them a new nonprofit organization. The run is dedicated to the ALS awareness and charity. So please see the attached map for the route that they had submitted that was reviewed by our chief of police. And the 5K run will start and end here at the City Hall. Sandra has requested the setup to be at 6 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. the day Thursday, July 4th. The event is scheduled at 7 a.m. and registrations will take place during setup. It'll conclude at 9:30 a.m. and the Public Works Department will have two staff members to assist with cone barricade placement. In addition, they'd be sharing that responsibility with the police department the morning of the event. Considering the expected turnout of 500 people, according to the resolution 2024-05, an event fee for this new nonprofit organization is $68.75. There are no additional requested fees for this event, and a $520 damage deposit would be paid, resulting in a total of $588.75 for this event. And staff recommends the approval of the facility use agreement between the city and the Fight for the Mike Charity Committee.
I just had a quick question. Their run isn't going to interact. Is it going to interact or be separate from the Chamber's fun run?
This is a separate event. Yeah. But
I'm doing a sun run this year.
We have Jackie here and Carrie.
That's for the 4th of July event. This is a different
group. This says 4th of July on it.
Yeah. But it wouldn't interact with the 4th of July.
Right.
You're not going to have a run this year. Paths. That's what Corey's asking.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Answer that. Thank you.
Space for that. So we'll still have a run. That run will take place that morning of 4th of July.
Okay.
Any more questions, City Council? Okay. And entertain a motion to Move the facility use agreement authorizing use of city property between the City of Othello and Fight for Mike Charity Committee for the Fight for Mike 5K charity run Thursday, July 4th, 2024.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now I'd like to move to item 4G, which is approval of facility use agreement between the City and Chamber of Commerce for the 4th of July. And Valerie?
The Greater Othello Chamber of Commerce is preparing for its annual 4th of July event at the Lions Park. Plans include a parade, children's games and activities, various entertainment acts, sports tournaments, and a city-sponsored culminating fireworks show. Assorted food, merchandise, informational booths, and games vendors will be in the park throughout the festivities. The Chamber of Commerce will begin the park setup on Wednesday, July 3rd, with vendor setup occurring between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. The Chamber has been notified that the City of Othello will not be responsible for any overnight security or supervision of the vendor equipment. The 4th of July event is scheduled for Thursday, 4th of July, from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. Two shifts of six public works employees will be staffed for the at the Lions Park throughout the day. On the document, it states four, but there was an additional two requested. So we I adjusted that to six per shift. And they would assist with the cone barricade placements, electrical outlets, dispersion and trash pickup, bathroom upkeep. And in addition, they would be helping the vendors onto the park and that would also help us in not damaging our sprinkler systems. Event vendors are to coordinate with the chamber representatives and must adhere to the City of Othello business license requirements. Event representatives must work with the City Hall clerk staff to ensure compliance and permits for vehicles in the park during setup and tear down for the vendors. So budgeting, considering the expected turnout of over 1,000 plus people, according to Resolution 2024-05, an event fee for returning nonprofit organization is $337.50 for the use of the Lions Park. A $520 damage deposit must be paid in addition to that. We had in additional items on the fee scale. We had $5,558.50 in chamber requests, additional items that include tables, garbage cans, dumpsters, portable toilets, hand wash stations, the two extra staff set up and takedown, resulting in the grand total of $6,416. Their processing fee has been paid and their insurance has been turned in. And in addition, there is a park map that is a preliminary map that Jackie has worked on. And we have communicated and talked that she would have the final map the week of the event so we can have our walkthrough before the event. So with that being said, we would like to recommend staff approve the facility use agreement between the City of Othello and the Othello Chamber of Commerce.
Any questions, City Council? Any questions of the Chamber representatives since they made it to our meeting? Okay. That I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion to approve the facility use agreement authorizing the use of city property between the City of Othello and the Othello Chamber of Commerce for the 4th of July parade and celebration. On the 4th of July.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Next item on our agenda is the discussion of the fire district agreement. There's been talk in the community about this issue, and I wanted to go on record to confirm that both the mayor and city council believe that authority has been given to the mayor to have the individual authority to terminate contracts and agreements. In my individual authority as the mayor, I terminated the fire district agreement. No action was taken in any executive session related to the fire district agreement.
And to alleviate any concerns our residents may have related to council's support and position on this matter, I'm now asking the City Council to retroactively approve and ratify my decision to terminate the city's agreement with the fire district. So at this time, I'd entertain a motion to retroactively approve and ratify the mayor's termination of the city's contract with the fire district.
I'll make that motion.
Exactly the way you said it.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next item on our agenda is unfinished business. Item five, is there any unfinished business City Council to come before the meeting tonight?
Dave, you gonna address the issue of Cedar Street?
We're gonna move the radar trailer there tomorrow.
Okay.
And begin some other stuff. And we're gonna do some stuff on Main Street too.
Okay. Sean, would you have a discussion with Public Works? If it is city vehicles.
Absolutely.
I haven't seen it. I leave in and out on Pine in front of the park all the time now, and I don't see. They're usually parked vehicles at the park, but I don't see people driving fast.
But I don't see Public Works flying around town. We do have I'm going to call it severe problem with speeding in this town. Main Street, 4th, several streets in town, but I have not seen Public Works.
Okay.
And I'm on the streets a lot. Yeah,
I don't either. So I don't believe it's city vehicles that are doing it, but I want to make sure that it isn't.
Because that was reported tonight by the public. Chief, do we have anything that there's a lot of loud exhaust coming from some of these cars in the community. Is that legal, or is that something that people can be ticketed for?
It is an infraction mm-hmm. for modified exhaust. If the exhaust is even just too loud and not modified, it can fall underneath the noise.
I was just wondering sometimes when I hear it, if that's actually a car or a quad, you know?
Yeah.
They're cars.
Because those quads are real loud.
But it's
and
cars.
There are a lot of people using those quads.
There's been a couple of times that I know that I've had a quad pass me and they were so loud that we could still hear them when they were down the hill and way out of town. So I know that there's some of those that are running around that are really loud.
You know, we passed the ordinance to allow the use of those in the city of Othello. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we had that in mind. You know, we thought it would be much more,
controlled.
And
the thing about it is that the people that are driving the quads and the razors around town, for the most part, they comply.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're pretty decent. There's some that's out of hand, but I think the percentage is pretty low, actually.
But one of the conditions that were in that ordinance is they had to be street worthy. They had to fulfill all the requirements to be licensed vehicle, right?
That is true.
Mm-hmm. So
I remember that. They had to be street legal was the term.
And most of the quads that I see, they have a green license on them. So they've attained that.
So on top of the green license, they also have to have a tag, because those green license plates, that's also issued to just off-road vehicles. But there's two different tags, the tabs, one's for off-road and one's for on-road.
But if it sounds loud, pull it over.
Yeah, the other thing I did witness on 9th and Main headed north, and two cars
were headed east on Main Street, they were definitely drag racing. And this is happening and occurring enough on a regular basis that I would like to see an emphasis on, I mean, that's a reckless driving ticket. I don't know what a reckless driving ticket costs, but you know, I know it's like about $1,000.
You know what it can do to their insurance if they're nailed with a reckless driving. Or it's for their mom and dad's insurance.
And it's dangerous. And it's just, it's not good for the community to have people disregarding the rule of law in this community. And that is something that's especially grievous. And I've had a number of people contact me, but so has the city council. And I'm just asking if the police department could place an emphasis on that. Thank you. Any other unfinished business, city council? Okay, I have one item. The Iron Horse Playground ribbon cutting will be taking place today at 1 p.m. On Friday, June 14th, at Lyons Park. City Clerk Tanya has asked that you RSVP to her by tomorrow so that she knows if you're going to be able to attend, so she can notify the newspaper that we would have a potential quorum. But the potential for a quorum. And afterward, there's a lunch at the mayor's house in the backyard after the ribbon cutting. So that's really exciting. I think about when we applied for that grant, it was 5 years ago. And then there were some obstacles to that with COVID and then the increase in price of materials and labor. And getting a capital budget appropriation to cover that difference. Then we had some difficulties again last year and early this year. And so now the finish line is in sight and I'm really excited. The community is going to be excited. Families, kids, everyone is going to enjoy that for decades to come. So if you can't get the time off work, I'd encourage you to come. If you can't, I understand, but none of this is possible without the city council and the city council and the Park and Rec committee members who worked with Park and Rec and the rest of the council and the mayor to make this happen. And it is actually going to happen here soon. So just wanted to remind you of that. Is there any new business tonight you'd like to discuss? All right. Moved to item 7, which is where the council will receive building and planning report for May and the police department report for May. And with no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 6:52 p.m.
One o'clock.
It's small.